Thanks, guys. Go ahead, take your seats, let's roll. I know how time is around here. They get me up here and your heart's like, when you look at that clock and go, oh, Jesus. I'm gonna share a couple things that are on my heart, try to get a couple things accomplished. That could be a challenge. Go to Romans 4 with me. Joyce was talking about Abraham. We'll just continue to talk about Abraham a little bit. Who knows, the Bible calls him the father of our faith. Yes. That God cut a covenant with him. And Joyce talked about the descendants and many as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And who knows, the Bible says that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. See, God loves us so much. You guys understand God loves us so much. Like, the Bible doesn't say, for God was so frustrated and at wit's end with humanity, he finally sent his son. The Bible says God so loved us. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son. See, he never loses sight of why he made man. Love never fails. He's not a self-centered God. Love doesn't seek its own. You have to understand, like parents, you know, try to help their kids sometimes, say, well, you just made God angry. Well, you just broke God's heart. None of the above. God loves you. God loves you. Now, that doesn't empower you to stay in a wrong place. That should compel you to come over to him. Because what he does is he never changes his mind about who he sees you to be, who he created you to be, and who he called you to be. So your like sin and your choices can't change his mind. Love never fails. So when God looks at you, he sees what he created you for, not what you've been doing. Now, that doesn't make what you've been doing insignificant. It needs repented of. It needs turned from. It needs changed because you're created for so much more. So love looks at you and says, you're so much more than what you're doing. It doesn't say, you're disgusting, I can't believe you did that. It says, you're so much more than what you're doing. See, love is here to call you out of darkness. Now, you have to understand, when he sees you that way and you come to him and you come out of that place and you repent and you say, man, I just come to you. You could just say this simple, like you don't even know what to say. You're like, I'm just sorry, right? Who's ever just felt sorry? I'm just sorry. The blood of Jesus comes and washes you and cleanses you of all sin, right? Remembers your lawless deeds no more. Accepts you as his, puts his life, his spirit in you, and makes you forever his. Forever a son, forever a daughter. No looking back, just looking up. Like, that's the healthy gospel. Now, I'm not being mean, we just don't tend to believe it that way. So we tend to look back, regret, second guess, repent 4 or 5 more times as we have flashbacks, memories, a dream. See, if you have a memory and a dream of yesterday and you've already repented, you ought to come out of that dream and go, wow, I'm so glad I'm clean. Wow. Not, boy, I had a bad dream. Can you pray for me? Stop. You should wake up from the dream, but I bet you wouldn't have any more of those dreams. You say, well, the devil keeps giving me dreams. Why do you believe the dreams the devil gives you? He's a liar from the beginning. There's no truth in him. If he's telling you you're not going to make it, you're going to make it. If he's telling you you'll never be nothing, you already are something in God. Like, why do you buy into the things that you know aren't God? You wake up from a dream. You don't need prayer if it was a bad dream. You just need truth. You sit in the middle of your bed, rejoice, lift your hands, laugh out loud, and say, wow, I thank you I'm clean. I thank you I'm free. I thank you I can never go back to that place. Wow, God, thank you. Man, I just remembered where you brought me from. Wow! And the little imp that brought the dream is sitting there going, that is not the goal. I want you to wake up depressed, feeling bad, regretting, repenting for the fifth time. I want to show you something in Scripture that to me is incredible. I might have even preached it here because I've been here a bunch. And it doesn't matter if I did. There's visitors and people that raise their hand. It doesn't even matter if somebody preaches the same thing over and over. Paul said it's not tedious for me to say the same thing over and over and over. For you, it's a safeguard. Hebrews 2 says, take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. People say, well, I want something new. I want something fresh. Well, I heard that before. Well, you don't know it until you've become it. You can quote it, you can repeat it, you can parrot it, you can puppet it, but you don't know the word till the word becomes flesh. See, when it's your life, you get it. I want to show you something in Romans 4. Let me say this yet. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes a whole chapter, phenomenal chapter. If you get a chance, read it today. I don't have favorite stuff when it comes to scripture because I think I have a favorite and 20 more things bombard my mind. But 2 Peter 1 is in my top 100, I promise. And that's serious. Top 100 is serious. No, 2 Peter 1 is definitely in my top 10. He writes this, and at the end of writing, he says, it's where he says that we have exceedingly great and precious promises, not to fill our vats and barns, assuring we'll partake of his divine nature. See, what the Lord's intent on is putting who he is back inside of us so that we can manifest him, so we can model him, so we can make him seen and known. Actually, God being seen and known is the true definition of the glory of God. The glory of God revealed is any manifest attribute of God. Any made seen, known, revealed, realized attribute, demonstration of God is the glory of God. His glory is who he is, manifested. The Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. So the Christ in you is the hope of manifesting God and making him seen, known, and realized. And if we're not careful, we think we're on the earth to catch a break and get a blessing. When the whole time you're on the earth is to shine, to walk in love, it's to show mercy and make peace, not have a chip on your shoulder just to get it knocked off, had an attitude, he said, she said, why wouldn't, well, how come you, why would I never have? See, that language is never heaven, and Jesus didn't teach us that. So where'd we get it? Not from him. I want to show you this. This is incredible. This is going to bless your heart. If you've never seen this, I mean, I've preached this a lot over the years. This stuff changed my life. Like I said to David on the way in, I said, you know, the Lord, I woke up one day I was in a church when this happened. He wrecked me in a church service. It was unlike me to fall apart like that. I do that in my bedroom. Like, I'm well-behaved when I'm in front of people. I really fit in with you people when I'm alone. But I wait till I'm alone. Because if I'm besides myself, it's for God. I have a mic. If I'm sound-minded, it's for you. It'd do you no good if I just stand here and manifest and act like you people. It'll do you no good. Get away from me. So stop. Ushers, could you remove Tracy? I'm just kidding. You can't remove her. She's the boss. Co-boss. The Lord wrecked me in a worship service. I couldn't stop crying. He kept breathing over me and giving me the indication that he loved me, that he appreciated me. I even got the impression that he was proud of me. When somebody prophesies that over you, you probably cry. When God does it firsthand, first person, breathes his breath over you and says that, you don't even know what you're going to do. You think you're going to die, but it's a glorious death. I'm not joking. I went through a whole box of Kleenexes. I used them all. It was a mess. Some kind lady, because I saw her hand and her fingernails, I knew it was a lady. She slid another box under my elbow because my box was empty. I had to preach soon, and I knew I had to preach. And I'm in my mind, I'm like trying to get up three times. And every time I got halfway up, I looked like a punch drunk fighter. I'm trying to get up. He just, love you. I'm laying there. And I try to get up. Love you. I'm a slow learner. After the third time, I got the idea, you know what? I bet you God read the bulletin, probably knows I'm supposed to preach. I'm sure he can read. He probably read the bulletin, knows I'm going to preach. And he seems to keep doing this and doesn't seem to care that I'm supposed to preach. So I should probably forget about all that and just let him do whatever he's doing and enjoy the moment and learn and get it and not even pull out of this thing. So I stopped trying to get up. That's when the lady put the other box in her mailbox because she thought, he's down for the count. While I'm laying there, the Lord whispered to me and he said, now you don't know what he meant when he said this, but I can explain it. I live with me. Who knows that I live with me? You live with you. Like nobody knows you like you know you. And I live with me. He said, do you know why you live the way you do? And I knew exactly what he meant as soon as he said it, because he can give you that when he talks to you intimately. You know what he's saying to you. Somebody else might not know or misinterpret or wrongly interpret, but when he said it, I knew what he meant. Consistency, simply just waking up every day. It's not a challenge. People say, Christianity is very simple. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's God is, and it never changes. He'll never shift, turn, shadow. He's for you. He's never against you. He loves you. He accepts you. Christianity is not as complicated as we think if we stay believing. He said, do you know why you live the way you do? And I said, yeah. And I answered exactly like you would have, because you're amazing. You're loving. You're forgiving. You're merciful. You're kind. You're the Lord. Like I just started to worship him in my heart because I was crying and I was a mess. And it was almost like he chuckled and said, that's not the answer I'm looking for. And I said, Lord, it's the only answer. And then you start thinking, what voice am I talking to here? Because it's the only answer. You are what you are by the grace of God. Nobody has a thing unless it's been given. There's no boasting in men. The only thing we'll ever get credit for is being believers. He gets all the glory. Amen. You cast your crown. Because if he didn't empower you, you wouldn't. If he didn't let you see, you'd see nothing. If he didn't speak, you'd hear nothing. Yes. You wouldn't know a thing. Nobody has a thing unless it's been given. And I said, Lord, it's the only answer. He said, well, your answer's right, but it needs a place to land. He said, let me tell you why you live the way you do. Because on the night you got saved, you saw your need for me and you saw the sin in your heart. And you became very sin conscious and you saw your need for me and you began to repent and you cried out to me. But ever since that moment, you've been a son in your heart. And I just wept and wept. And he said, and then all those things you just worshiped me for, mercy, loving, kindness, has a place to land in your life. See, it's one thing if I say God loves you. It's another thing for you to be loved by God. I'm always right. If I say, Chris, God loves you, I'm always right. But the goal is Chris being loved by God. If you don't see and get convinced and settle on how he sees you through his son, you won't stay in a right identity. Nothing can change that I'm his, but me not believing it. It's one thing to say God's merciful. It's another thing to receive his mercy. And if you'll ever receive his mercy, you'll become so merciful. If you ever receive his forgiveness, I mean clean forgiveness. I asked the Lord, why do we struggle as your people with unforgiveness when it's never in heaven? Like the kingdom doesn't even know what unforgiveness is, and we fight over it like it's common and normal. Like, well, I'm trying to forgive. That means you have a grid for unforgiveness before you have it for forgiveness. That means unforgiveness has become normal. And I said, why do we struggle with that as your people? When the servant in Matthew 18 couldn't forgive, he was called evil and wicked. And he was bound and in darkness. I said, God, so I'm not talking. This isn't corrective. Watch. I said, Lord, why are people so struggling with unforgiveness? He said, because they'd never received the beauty of being completely forgiven. He said, if you ever see that you're clean, if you ever know that you're washed, if you ever know that he doesn't look at you and judge you, he looks at you and loves you, you will become what you've received. Yes. forgiveness shouldn't even be a temptation to believers. Scripturally, I could show you scripture where discouragement shouldn't even be a temptation to believers. But when you preach that stuff in today's church, you ain't keeping it real. No, we're keeping it kingdom. Coming out of darkness into the light. In the world, not of it. Not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not trying to keep it real. We're keeping it kingdom. I'm not here to relate to everybody's experience. I'm here to invite you into Him, into His life, into following Him, not what we've been, what He is. Yeah. Sorry. Behave, Joyce. Don't get me. Stop. Hug her, Carlton. Hold her. She is so awesome. She has definitely brought meat and potatoes to this. No, no. Yesterday, she was so moved, and you could get caught up in her being moved. I got caught up in what she said. Man, it ministered to me. Okay, people preach it on faith. Use this section of scripture. It's astounding. It's so like you want this resume. If God would write about you, you would love you to be this. Let me read it. This is about Abraham. Let's just jump in. He's talking in 16. He's the father of our faith. Let's jump in at 17. That is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Who knows he's talking about Abraham? Yeah. In the presence of him, who? Most High. Whom he believed. Who believed? Abraham, hyphen God. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not, or that do not exist as though they did. What's he talking about? He's talking about Abraham and his promise to have a son at his old age. His promise of Sarah having a baby at her old age, right? So he's talking about Abraham, and he's saying in the presence of him, he believed, watch this, who contrary to hope, in hope, talking about his age, talking about his circumstance, talking about the promise based on his facts, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Uh-oh. And not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body. He didn't look at Sarah and go, dude. And his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver at the promise of God. God came and gave the promise. He didn't waver at the promise of God. Like, this is powerful. You want this testimony in your life. Through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully, fully convinced. Do you see none of this language is partial, half in, half out? This is dead set. You said it. I believe it. I ain't budging. That's how it's written. He was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I got reading this, and my mind shifted, and I said, well, wait a minute. And I went back to Genesis, because I had to read the account. In 15, he came and made the covenant. God himself walked through the sacrificed meat. The Shekinah himself walked through the meat. Abraham's in a trance, sleep, whatever. God himself walked through the meat. Do you know what that means? In the old covenant heritage, the lesser tribe, the weaker tribe, passed through the slaughtered animals and the meat, saying, the gods do to us and more so than was done to this meat if I ever break this covenant. God taking the form of the lesser, pointing to Jesus battered on a cross, looking cursed, separated and defeated by from God. Duh. He passed through the meat. But in 16, we got a problem. Times passed by. Did you remember Romans? Fully convinced, didn't waver, didn't budge, didn't move, fully planted. That's the language. But I looked in 16 and Sarah got an idea. Abe, it's been a while. We've been trying hard. I'm about done trying, dude. Could you imagine that? 90, 100? Come on, Sarah, let's give it a shot and believe God. I'm coming, Abe. I'm coming. Girl, I gotta bless this body, boy. I gotta bless your body. Could you picture this? Don't picture too deep. What is going on? They going in that tent, they trying to make it happen. Because you know it, because she said, this ain't working. Hey, this ain't working. I don't know if it's you, me, us, it ain't working. Now check out my maidservant, Hagar. He said, see, we all think it all holy, but men in the Bible, promiscuous. This Bible, men today, you better be careful, promiscuous. Hey, probably think I already saw Hagar. She said, I got an idea, Abe. Go into Hagar. What? Go into Hagar. Maybe that way God will provide the promise in the child, because it ain't working with me. I'm past my time. It ain't happening. I'm past the age of life. I ain't had a period for how many years? And I'm supposed to conceive? Hagar, she's ripe. She's ready. Just go sleep with her. Get done with her. Take her as your wife. I don't think Abraham said, let me pray and fast about that. A chapter later, he's got Ishmael. It's caused trouble. Sarah's heart, Hagar, Abe. It ain't God, it's his flesh. When I read Romans, it said he didn't waver. He's convinced. He didn't move. He was fully. I look in Genesis, he wavered. He second-guessed. He lived in the flesh. He got carnal. He slept with somebody else. Had a baby with some other woman. Not the woman of promise. Not his wife. Some other woman. God shows up in 17 and says, Abraham, you stand before me and be righteous. What's that mean? You stand before me and be right in my sight. Listen to me, people. That's what matters. If God says you're going to be right in my sight, say amen. Amen. Don't say, yeah, but, you know, but did you know? And I just, but well, but yeah. Stand before me and be righteous. And Abraham stood before him. And what's God saying? You're wavering. Your non-commitment. Your lack of faith, your hopelessness. He did that all. But Romans says he ain't done none of it. And the Bible ain't lying. We better understand this. He said, in all your weakness, you stand before me and be right, because I haven't changed my mind. You're going to be the father of faith. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have a son, and it's going to happen because I'm the Lord. No, Abraham still didn't get it. Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might stand before you. Oh, that you'd let my efforts fulfill this thing. That you let my works do this thing. He said, not a chance. He's the son of your flesh. Nothing against Ishmael, but he's the son of your flesh. And it's going to be the son of promise. And I'm telling you, Abraham, you are going to have a son. And Sarah in the season of life, bam. Well, that was in 18. Because then Abraham, watch. Abraham, the chapter ends, and the three men show up in 18. Who are them three men? Sarah's cooking up some food. They talking to Abe. He's telling him how it's going down. And I'm telling you, the time's here. Sarah in the season of life. Season of life, she ain't had a period for 40 years. In the season of life, she's going to conceive. Sarah's behind the tent in the veil. She's cooking. She goes, I'm all old. And now I'm going to find pleasure? Cynical laugh. God says, in the presence of the Lord. See, you think you can't do stuff in the presence of the Lord? Why did Sarah laugh? Sarah, I didn't laugh. Bad enough you laugh cynical when God promises. Oh, yeah, right, I'm going to get pregnant. See, Sarah laughed, but she still got pregnant. Tell me God ain't merciful. See, our lives have to do with Him. She laughed and still got pregnant. He said, why'd Sarah laugh? She said. He didn't say Sarah didn't laugh. She said she didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh, but you did. Bam. So you laugh and you lie in a 3-minute moment in the presence of the Lord. That is not a real good day. So what happens in Romans? Why does this say this about Abraham when you read it and it didn't happen nothing like Romans? He wavered. He was hopeless. He wasn't founded. He got out of faith. He moved in the flesh. Because in Genesis 17, when God said, stand before me and be righteous, and reiterated the promise and the covenant, Abraham had to say in his heart when he said, let it be Ishmael. It was his last ditch effort. God said, it can't be Ishmael. It has to be another. And Abraham had to say, I got it. Okay. I'm locked in. And all Romans remembers through the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's New Testament language. All Romans remembers, all time remembers, all history remembers, all the kingdom of God remembers is Abraham's yes. Not his wavering, not Hagar, not his hopelessness, not his lack of faith. He did it all like we did it all. But he's saying to us, stand before me and be righteous. And you got to lock in and say, yes. And that blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you and make you clean in the presence of your God. And then this is your testimony. Woo! I scrolled through, I found Hebrews chapter 11. Guess who made the patriarchs of faith list? The lady that I read laughed and lied. The Bible says you ought to be like her, repenting, changing, and locking in. Because even though she laughed, she conceived. Even though she lied, she got pregnant. And Hebrews says, Sarah, by faith, her testimony. Well, the last I read, she laughed and lied. I didn't hear nothing more about Sarah. The last thing I heard about Sarah is she laughed and lied. And I'm thinking, ooh, that ain't good. And then the next thing I see about Sarah is she's written down on a list called Patriarchs of Believers, who, even though we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God, stepped into His mercy, stepped into His forgiveness, stepped into His loving kindness, and actually believed He's that good. And the writer in Hebrews said, Sarah, who by faith received strength to conceive. Oh! You see why ever since that night I was sin conscious and repented? I've been a son in my heart. Why? Because He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Loves me. Loves me. I'm down to 2 petals. Loves me. Loves me. Dan, you're out of your mind. I might be out of yours. I'm having too much fun. Okay, I'm going to be strong with you now. You should stay laughing. It's not going to be harsh. I come here over and over and over. You guys worship like mad people, maniacs. You celebrate Him, you shout to Him, you sing to Him, you scream to Him. Make sure you believe Him where you're concerned. And make sure you believe everything you're spending time in this way. Because he is that good. And if he said, I love you, he loves you. And if he said, I forgive you, then be forgiven. If he said, I accept you, then live accepted. Because if you live accepted, you'll live acceptable. If you try to live acceptable, you'll question if you're accepted. You never do to be. You have to be to do so that you're saved by grace through faith and not of works. Least any man should boast. There's no super Christian going to stand before the throne. I know we make Christians superstars. There's no such thing. There's only men saved by grace. There's only people that believe the truth, and the truth has made them free. And just because somebody's walking in freedom, we think that's dramatic. Just because somebody's walking in consistency, we think that's a hero. It's called childlike faith. It's called never believing the lie once you see the truth. It's never turning back. It's never letting go of the plow. Yeah. Good preach. Come on, don't you be your own worst enemy. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are never in the tool belt of God. He has never ever subcontracted the devil to do work for him. They are on separate platforms. And Jesus is this way higher called heaven. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are lies from hell. And you know they're the three tools that keep people where they are? Because if you can't see yourself different than what you've been, you'll keep doing what you've done. Why? You have to make a tree good for its fruit to change. If a person thinks they're this, they'll live this. If they think they're that, they'll live that. The identity they have of themselves when they look in the mirror is the very fruit that'll be on their tree. That's why people keep revisiting their past. That's why people keep repeating mistakes, because they believe they're what they've done instead of believe what he's done. And they believe because they failed, they're a failure. They believe because they sinned, they're just a sinner. And they never repent and step into a new identity and take off the old garment that they never looked good in anyway and put on the thing that's made to fit them perfectly, his righteousness. Has your name on the inseam. Handcrafted just for me. If you could see in the spirit, you'd see how awesome I look. He's going to marry me forever in the spirit. It's not a weird flaky thing. It's not a like gender twist. He loves me. And he's joined with me as one. Because I've said yes. And he robed me and he clothed me and made me fit for a wedding with the King. And it's the only reason we're going to be there, because we're wearing the wedding clothes. There was one there, he didn't have the clothes. He said, how'd he get in with no clothes? How'd he get in without wedding clothes? In other words, without receiving what he paid for and what he accomplished and walking in that grace. You better have them clothes on if you go into a wedding. Yeah? I want to show you one more thing. I think we can get it done, and we're going to pray for the sick. Is that okay? So we accomplished two things today. That was good right there.
That's a miracle.
Yeah. Thank you. Jesus does miracles. Go to John chapter 3, would you? I probably preached this here too. Doesn't matter. Peter wrote Second Peter chapter 1. He wrote this dynamic section of scripture. And guess what he said after he wrote it? I write these things to you, even though you know them and are established in them. Wow. Well, Peter, if we know it and are established in it, why are you writing it again? Give us a fresh manna. He said, I think it's safe to stir you by reminding. And I'm going to be sure as long as I'm in this tent to keep this truth in front of you. And even after my departure, I'm going to see to it you have it in front of you. He did a pretty good job since I can read 2 Peter 1 in 2023. Yes. You go, Peter. He said, I write these things to you, even though you know them and are walking in them. And he still took the time to write the whole chapter to keep them right there. I want you to see this. This is intense and this is powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. No one else is having it. I'm sorry. John 3:16, 15. Okay. Let's just jump in at verse 13, John chapter 3. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. That's amazing. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. 27 years ago, I was reading that on my bed. And I was reading the next line, and the Holy Spirit said, moving too fast. You're missing something really big. I want to show you. I said, backed up, reread it, even as, show Sal, as Moses lifted up. So I cross-referenced and went to Numbers 28 and read the story. The story's fascinating. They're in the middle of nowhere. You know the story. They, for 40 years, wandered 11-day journey. Could have been there in 11 days. 40 years, they're still in the same circle. Complaining, moaning, grumbling, sea splitting, Pharaoh getting swallowed up, a rock splitting, giving water to millions. The rock was Christ. A cloud by day, a fire by night. Their clothes grew up on them. Their shoes sustained for years and years. You say, well, they got bored with the same shoes. Why didn't you get thankful that they stayed? Here's these people complaining when the wilderness is a place of worship. It's a lesson. When everything seems dry, he's wet. When you don't look like you got enough, you got him. The wilderness is a place of worship. It's a place where who he is revealed. You wake up in the morning and you don't even know where you are, and it's rocks and crags and dry and hot, but he's there. But they came out of their tent that day and they said, same old stuff. Manna on the ground, same old stuff. Here we go again. Totally unthankful. Corinthians 10, Paul says they loathed the worthless bread. He called it tempting Christ. Why? He's the bread that came down from heaven. That was a type of Christ. That's God's plan. That's the gospel on the ground. That's provision. That's sustenance. That's wisdom. That's God, provider. That's Jireh on the ground. And they come out and tempt Christ, loathe the worthless bread. Your provision, your plan, your wisdom ain't enough for us, ain't satisfying us. Same old, same old. We're in this sick and tired place, sick and tired of being here. And these serpents, it's a sci-fi chapter in your Bible. These serpents just sprung up from somewhere. Fiery, fangy serpents started whacking people. They's complaining, whap! Complaining, whap! It's a sci-fi chapter. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall. So I'm reading the story, and the people come running to Moses again. Moses had to have a couple people following him with a bunch of wardrobe with a bunch of cloaks. That man was tearing clothes and repenting for them people. Him and Aaron had to go through a supply of garments. They had the dirtiest hair you have ever seen, because they was in sackcloth and ashes, and they're throwing dirt on their head, crying out before God for the people. These people. They in there, Moses in there, Lord, people just told me they know they sinned. They know they messed up. Would you forgive them? He said, yeah, I'll forgive them. Here's what I need you to do, Moses. I need you to take, melt down some bronze, and make a serpent. Well, that sounds like graven image. That sounds like contrary to Leviticus. I'm reading this and I'm thinking. He said, put that, it's still the medical symbol for today. The serpent on the pole. They got it out of the Bible. He said, it'll be that when you lift that up and the people see it, everyone that was bitten, when they see it, going to be healed. And I'm reading my Bible, and I'm just a year saved. And I'm like, why a serpent? Why did you tell him to make a bronze image, a replica of the serpent, put it on a pole, hang it up, and when they see it, they're going to be healed? Why not a flag that says Yah? Why not Aaron's rod that budded? Why not hoist out the Ark of the Covenant or something from it? You know what I'm saying? No, something that points to him. And I was very confused. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, the reason the Holy Spirit told me to slow down, there's more, he just goes, boom. Did you ever have that? You're just searching. You know you're onto something, but you don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, boom. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, Dan, I made a replica of the thing that was killing them, because they're my Hebrew people and they know the Levitical law. And they know that everything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So when Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, they said in their heart, God has cursed the serpent, and instantly they were healed. In other words, the serpent can't hurt us anymore because God's against it. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man. Did he curse his son on the pole? He cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shouldn't be hurting us no more. It should be that everyone looks at him hanging on the pole, because the law of sin and death has been overcome by the law of the Spirit of life that's through Christ. God is against sin. God drove it away and took it away through the Lamb. Even as so shall. When Jesus was put up on the pole, it was sin cursed in the flesh. And it shall have no dominion over you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sin and heals all my disease. It was that when the people looked, they saw God smote the serpent, and he was for them and not against them. And faith rose in their heart, and they were instantly healed because they knew God intervened. When we look at Jesus, we're not supposed to see a suffering Savior. We're supposed to see sin cursed in the flesh. We're supposed to see that God separated us from our sin and he drank the cup of wrath, only to be raised from the dead on the third day by the Spirit of holiness and raised from the dead for our justification. Yeah? It's where healing comes from. Healing doesn't come because you're sick and troubled. Healing doesn't come because we just want them healed. Healing comes because faith is in our heart, because we see Jesus was raised on a pole and sin was cursed by God. He was made to be a curse so we could receive the blessing of the covenant that was promised to Abraham. You see, even as so shall. You know why we pray for the sick? Because they're sick and it bothers us. And then we strive, we get into works, we try to pray right, powerful, and anointed. Get into works, get frustrated, and in time give up and question even if we believe in healing. He is Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
He is the God that healeth thee. And he put everything we ever did on that tree, on his son, and cursed sin in the flesh. And the law of the Spirit of life through Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why we don't live in fear. That's why we don't worry. That's why we don't look over our shoulder. That's why we will never freak out again if anything hits the earth like COVID. I'm sorry, but we got an F minus. The body of Christ got a failing grade during COVID. And then politics hit right on the heels, presidential election, and we got a double F. And I watched people hate people. I watched people give up. I watched people act like they didn't even know the Lord. As if he's not King and Most High. Let's pass the next time. Next election, let's pass. Let's pray for those in authority instead of curse. Let's stop putting all our hope in news reports. And put our hope in the Word of God. No matter how dark it is out there, I don't care how many conspiracies. There's so many people studying out conspiracy theories right now, and they're gripped by them, and they're focused on them. And if you're not careful, you'll lose the love of God in the process. And you'll lose faith in God, and you'll put all your faith in the conspiracy. And now your fight is the conspiracy instead of faith. It doesn't matter if the whole world is dark. It doesn't matter if all leadership is twisted. He told you to pray for them and told you to walk in the light as he's in the light. I'm concerned if the chips ever fall in this country that all we know to do is picket and protest and stand for our rights instead of live by his Spirit. Do we know how to love one another? Do we know how to love those who persecute us? Do we know how to give to those who despitefully use us? Do we know how to be sons of our Father in heaven? Do we understand that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold? But he who endures till the end will be saved. So are we growing cold or are we enduring? Do we see flesh and blood as our enemy or is our fight the good fight of faith? Come on, I'm preaching to you right now. It's the truth. Listen, I want you right now, close your eyes with me, would you? If you're sick in this place, I want you to hear me carefully. Close your eyes, everybody. Don't be distracted. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. It was that everyone that looked at that serpent and saw it on the pole that was bitten was healed. I want you to see Jesus on that pole right now. Even as, so shall. Same message, same truth. It's a shadow, it's a type, but now he's come. I want you to see that when Jesus is on that pole, he's not a suffering savior. He's sin cursed in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over you. And God forgives you, and because he forgives us, he heals us. What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? But to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, go ahead, son, get up and walk. He bore our sins in his body on a tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed. If you're sick in your body right now, I want you to look at Jesus on that cross. I want you to see him in your heart. I want you to see him in your faith. And I want you to know that when you see him for what he did and what he paid for, faith rises in our hearts. It's not our powerful prayer. It's not the words we speak. It's what our hearts believe. Be whole is plenty. when there's a revelation. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. I've seen so many people healed in my life, and there wasn't even any prayer. There was just a revelation. And when I say just, I mean only, because just is a big deal in the revelation. If you're sick in your body and you have sickness and you can stand, I need you to begin to stand to your feet right now and just look to the one, look to the cross. Just look to the cross. He was made to be sin. And God cursed sin in the flesh. Is there anybody that wants healing or prayer and you can't stand up? Wave your hand to me so I can find you and see you. If you can't stand, and it's hard to stand. Anybody? Y'all good? Okay, you're good. If you're up and you're good. Stretch your hands to him, please. If you're sitting near them or behind them or in front of them, turn around, find them. Just lay your hand on them right now. Lift your hands. Listen, he has to love you or he'd have never sent his son. The thing you're going through is no reflection on God's love or lack of love. He loves you because he sent his son. The measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. Don't ever forget that. You're not looking at your circumstances to find God's love. You're looking to his son. So let's look unto him right now and be saved. Saved means healed, delivered, protected. So with hands raised, say this as you're seeing Jesus on that cross. Thank you for healing me. Because you forgave me. And because you absolutely love me. If you're touching them right now, say, be whole in Jesus' name. Father, all over this room, I thank you. Sickness, flee, go right now. Just like the Israelites, just like the Hebrews. They looked and were healed. We're looking and we're healed. You paid the price. You're the finished work. It's not the power of our prayer. It's the work you accomplished. It's faith in our heart. We're like children today believing. If you put Jesus on the cross, then the war between God and man through sin is over. You took it away. You sent a lamb. And you took away the sin of the world. We're blameless. We're holy, blameless, and above reproach in your sight. Colossians 1, and we believe it. Thessalonians 1:5, or chapter 5 says that you be spirit, soul, and body blameless till he comes. So Father, I thank you right now for healing all through this room because of the Son that was risen. Even as, so shall. We thank you right now for healing all through this room. I thank you, bodies change, joints change, injuries leave, pain flees. I thank you, God, all through this room, eyes are strengthened, ears hear. All through this room, ears hear, eyes see, hearts, livers, kidneys. You work in the authority of Jesus' name because a son was given and crucified and raised from the dead. Holy Spirit, come, thank you, and bring healing to everybody right now. Father, I thank you. You are the defender of the weak. You are the one that makes things strong. Through the finished work of Christ, be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. We love you and we praise you. Yeah, it's really good. You are the healer, Jehovah Rapha. Jesus, you're the stirred water, and we're standing in the pool.
Amen.
Whoever stepped in was healed of whatever they had. The pool was just the shadow. The stirred water's here. His name is Jesus. So step in the water. Thank you, Lord. Shoo. Whoever was healed of whatever, he said to the man who couldn't get in on his own, do you want to be healed? I have no one to help me. Get up. What's he saying? Yes, you do. I'm here. Thank you, great helper. Lover of our souls. Would you lift your hands with me right now and just thank him and believe right now? And just lock in. Just thank him. Healing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the change of my body. Thank you for strength where it was weak. Thank you for cartilage where there was none. Thank you for ability where I was lacking. Thank you for function where there was dysfunction. Thank you for wholeness in my life. In Jesus' name. See, this isn't about a gifting, a ministry, an anointing. It's about Him. He's the anointing. He's the ministry. It's called the ministry of the Spirit. It's called the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we honor you for it. In Jesus' name. Pastor David, I'm handing it over to you.